Welcome to Creative Disturbance. My name is Stephanie Grace, and I'm an interaction designer at Bloomberg. Today, I'm here talking with the artists Lila Lakoto and Bilal Kolb in their New York studio. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Steph.
And I'm also joined by Kajon Grace, who's an assistant research professor at UNC Charlotte. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. Glad to be here.
So, Lila, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves as artists?
Thank you, Steph. We work with the body, the human body, and its frailties. We do this by using various technologies. One main piece of equipment that we've used and accessed throughout the years is a 3D whole body scanner, which we've been able to produce 3D images of our bodies, which we can bring into the computer and manipulate by remapping and reconfiguring the body. So through this, and also another great tool that we've been accessing, the motion capture data, we've been able to explore issues of digital imaging and movement of the body. In 2013, we were invited to do an artist-in-residence program at UNC Charlotte, where we met the two of you, and also led us to the project we're going to talk about today.
And that project is called the Willful Marionette, but as I understand it, it's affectionately referred to as Little Bill, and I assume that that has some kind of association with you, Bill.
Yes, for better or worse, it does. The project we proposed at UNC Charlotte was to build from the three-dimensionally scanned image of a human figure, which turned out to be me, a three-foot-tall, naked, stringed marionette that would respond in real-time to spontaneous human interaction, and it would engage with a viewer by reading their movements and expressions.
And Kaz, you were faculty in the department.
Yes, I'm a researcher in computational creativity, which means I'm interested in how AI and machine learning can be involved in the creative process, either as a way to augment the creativity of a human artist or as a creative entity in their own right. So when I heard Lila and Bill would be starting a residency at UNC Charlotte, I wanted to get involved.
So I wanted to kick off today's conversation on one of the themes this project explores, which I see as the interaction between humans and AI. Now, little Bill's actions are all driven by an algorithm that interprets what it sees and it reacts on a set of rules, or based on a set of rules. Now, I've heard the two of you talk about observers of the piece projecting emotions onto little Bill when they see how he reacts to their movement. What kinds of emotions do they claim little Bill to have, and was it something that you initially planned for?
For me, you know, when I watch people, I thought that little Bill's response was so unpredictable that a person, an observer, immediately sees something alive as if he was a real little person that they can communicate with, which really surprised me.
People do tend to read things into the marionette's responses, things such as whether he likes them or not, or prefers somebody else to them, things like that. We didn't plan specifically for anything like that, but it wasn't entirely unexpected. We saw it happening when the piece was in its early stages. But I don't know if we had any really clear expectations of the participants' responses. But it turns out they're pretty much all over the place, so I'd have to say that they've exceeded whatever we'd originally imagined they'd be.
Yeah, well, what do you think, Cass?
It's really interesting how uncomfortable people get when they interact with little Bill, because his physicality and his human-like movement kind of tricks your brain into thinking that you're in a conversation with a real person.
Except a person that's 3 feet tall
and
blue.
That doesn't seem to matter. It sort of plugs into that conversation center of your head. And then when little Bill does something weird, he's just human-like enough that you think it's your fault. He does something strange and you go, oh, I must have offended him.
Well, not only that, you mentioned 3 feet tall. I think what's interesting is he's almost childlike. So people walk up to him expecting him to be childlike, and instead he's an adult that's looking at you and responding back to you in a very strange and unpredictable way. So it really makes people think.
People are willing, I think, to give a lot of latitude to something that looks a lot like a person. when we create AI systems that respond through a chat channel or anything like that, anytime they do something weird, you're jolted out of the experience and you go, oh, it's broken. But with Little Bills, you think, oh, I'm very uncomfortable, I did something wrong.
It's true. It's kind of interesting because we were talking to a roboticist at the Max Planck Institute in Tübingen, Germany, and basically he admired the fact that we made Little Bill not a robot, but a very emotional, human-looking being.
So I want to bring this back to the artistic concept that Leela and Bill have previously focused on, which rather than the frailties of what seems to be human communication, but rather the frailties of the human body. How does this piece capture that focus?
Well, to answer that question, I have to step back a little bit in our work. We were working in animations with virtual marionettes and began considering how they represented the human body in such a distinct and contemporary manner. They are an exaggeration of ourselves. And by exploring frailty through them, we can indirectly get closer to our own feelings.
Mm. Also, I mean, we meant for this piece to create psychological tension rather than focus on the physicality of the body. We hope to do that through the physical interaction between the marionette and the participant.
So it's a little bit of both, this frailty of the human body and a bit of human communication.
Yeah. By behaving in an ambiguous and unpredictable way to human gestures, the marionette causes sort of a breakdown in the normal communicative process and exposes weaknesses in our expectations.
I think it's natural that an interactive piece evokes feelings about communication. It's a body, but it's a body that you interact with. The technology makes it possible for someone to gesture at the marionette and have it gesture back.
So let's talk a little bit about the technology then. 3D printing was used in this project. Now, it has an amazing potential in terms of prototyping, fabrication, and in this case, as a tool for exploring a concept through expression and communication with a level of detail that you couldn't really achieve before. So what impact did this have on the piece? I mean, both of you are sculptors. How has it been different?
Well, for us, and I'm sure for a lot of artists, the 3D printer is just another technology that's going to produce something that you want to create from, you know, at one time a piece of wax or plaster without using a mold. So for us, it really isn't a new technological discovery. It's pretty cool, but we can get precision without having a 3D printer. I mean, take a good mold, you know, and silicone rubber, and you've got some really incredible details. So that's not what was exciting for us. What was exciting for us is that we could take a 3D scan of a human body and have it 3D printed. That became something that was very, very unique.
And I imagine that taking a mold of a human body is quite difficult.
It is, but we've done it. As a matter of fact, we traded dentistry for, he wanted his body in bronze and we wanted our teeth fixed. So it's been done. However, this was pretty exciting that we could replicate a body from a 3D scan. And you know, we wanted to see movement, and which we were already achieving by choreographing movements using dancers with motion capture. So, you know, it was all coming to kind of a nice head.
What do you think, Bill?
I got nothing. You took my thing.
I guess I should find another question for the two of you.
Actually, I'm going to chime in and just say something silly. It's really funny to hear you guys say that. I have absolutely no skill at making things in the physical world. And to me, 3D printing is the first time
I've been able to actually render something in the real world. And hearing an artist say, oh, I could have done all this stuff before. It just takes silicon and molds and bronze dentistry. Really, this puts my lack of real world skill in perspective.
Well, but you know, right now 3D printing is also very limited to certain materials. I mean, they're really trying to expand it, but you know, Little Bill is plastic and blue at that.
So we talked a little bit about the technology, and I want to shift this conversation over to the human interaction and artificial intelligence side of things. Guys, what role do you think the arts play or should play in facilitating discussion and ideas surrounding AI?
I think that art plays a really important role in talking about the eventual consequences of a technology. Whereas science and engineering focuses on what might be possible tomorrow, artists help us imagine a world in which those things are taken to their logical conclusions.
I think you answered that quite well, Kaz. You know, both artists and scientists are dedicated to asking questions to move our society forward, creating answers that resonate with our values. Artists can explore principles and technologies in unanticipated ways. Artificial intelligence is a field where an artist can reach beyond the technical boundaries and explore the nature of being human.
The arts address life issues, and AI is going to increasingly become one of those issues. As such, and I think we're beginning to see it now, AI and our relationship to it will become the subject of numerous films, plays, and art pieces even. The arts are able to approach subjects such as this in ways that can in some ways be more meaningful than scientific papers about the same thing.
I don't want to jump into a conversation about whether art or scientific papers are more meaningful. I think I might lose that one. But AI and creativity are so far only very tangentially related. There are some people who've done interesting stuff with isolating the style in a painting versus the content in that painting, and are then able to render another photo in a particular style. But mimicking a style is about as far from creative as you can get. So we have AIs that can learn the technical skill of painting, but not the creativity of choosing what, where, and when to paint.
So do you think AI could be creative? Or what would make AI creative or considered creative?
Well, AI is a machine that we can build to learn and be creative. At one point, it was believed that AIs couldn't be creative because creativity was equated to being novel. Today, we're seeing that that's just not the case. The machines can now synthesize unique and innovative ideas from vast amounts of information.
I would think AI can be creative, given that it can have the ability to algorithmically create. So in a way, the program is what makes the AI creative or not. But whether it can be insightful, passionate, artistic, qualities that most people associate with creativity is another matter.
Bill, I think, gets right to the heart of the problem. But what Bill said, that the programmer is what makes the AI creative. The only way for that not to be the case is if the AI has its own experiences. It experiences its life, and it wants to express those experiences to us.
So it's not just the expression or the synthesis of content and information, but the intention as such.
If you give a machine some content and ask it to synthesize an art piece, is it being artistic or is it producing something for you?
Well, in a way, isn't that kind of bringing us back to Little Bill?
So one thing Little Bill does that is really, really great and speaks to how AI and creativity can be more productively connected in the future is that people attribute meaning to Little Bill's gestures. People attribute a sense of conversation, a dialogue, a continuation of the interaction that they've had with him because they perceive him as being alive. They perceive him as thinking and feeling and experiencing. That is something that machines could explore in the future.
So I think we're almost out of time. Thank you guys so much. It's been a really great conversation.
Thank you, Steph.
Thank you.
Thanks.
To learn more about Leela Lakoto, Bill Outcult, and Kajon Grace, visit the Creative Disturbance site at creativedisturbance.org.